Did you know that the Mongol hordes, which destroyed the Muslim world, eventually became Muslim themselves? You see, in 1162, a man named Temujin was born in one of the many tribes that lived in the far eastern lands of Mongolia. And just like the Turks, they lived on horseback, traveling from place to place and feeding off the vast grassy deserts of the Great Steppe. Eventually, Temujin would inherit leadership in his clan, and through marriage, alliances, and warfare, began to unite the Mongol tribes under a single banner. And in 1206, after having defeated every one of his rivals, a ceremony was held and he was given the title Universal Ruler, otherwise known in Mongolian as Genghis Khan. Soon he began to turn his attention outward, expanding his empire in every direction. He started by attacking the Chinese Empire, a nation which had built a series of walls over the course of 1,000 years to protect themselves from the constant threat of these warring tribes. At the same time, Genghis sent armies across the flat plains of Central Asia, conquering the other nomadic peoples in the steppe before arriving at the Muslim Khwarezmian Empire. Using siege equipment and engineers brought over from China, the Mongols began attacking the main Muslim strongholds in Central Asia, capturing each one and in some cases killing every man, woman, and child they could find. And now the Mongols were on the doorstep of the Abbasid Caliphate. Eventually, Genghis Khan would die in 1227, putting a temporary halt to the Mongol invasions of the Muslim empires. And throughout the next few decades, a series of new Mongol Khans would follow in his footsteps until in 1251, Munke Khan, the grandson of Genghis Khan, was elected the fourth Great Khan of the Mongol Empire. Munke then sent his brother Hulaku with an army to attack and destroy the remaining Muslim lands. In 1258, the Mongol army arrived at the gates of Baghdad, the capital of the Abbasid Caliphate and the heart of the scientific golden age of Islam, and put it under siege. The siege only lasted 13 days, and when the Mongol horde finally entered the city, a bloodbath ensued. For one full week, Mongol soldiers sacked the city, murdering its men, women, and children. Even the caliph himself was wrapped up in a rug and trampled to death by their horses. The Mongols later claimed that they had killed 2 million people in the massacre. Libraries and hospitals and palaces and mosques were all destroyed, and even the Grand Library of Baghdad, the House of Wisdom, was burned to the ground. It was said that so many books were thrown into the Tigris River that they formed a bridge that could support a man on horseback, and that the ink of those books turned the water black. With Baghdad now in ruins, and the Abbasid Caliph dead, it was the end of the scientific golden age of Islam, and the Abbasid Caliphate ceased to exist. There was now only one city left that could produce an army to defend the rest of the Muslim Ummah from being wiped out. Cairo was the last stand of the Muslims. In Egypt, the two most powerful rulers were Qutuz and Baibars. Both Muslims originated from Central Asia, where they had been captured by the Mongols and sold as slaves, and their families had been killed in front of them. Eventually, they found themselves back in the Muslim world, where, unlike any other society in existence, it was often slaves that ruled. At the death of his master Aybak, the slave sultan of Egypt, Qutuz took his place while Baibars became a general under his command. These two men, having intimately experienced the wrath of the Mongol hordes, felt the weight of the world on their shoulders. They were the wall that stood between the Mongol army and the innocent lives of the Muslim men, women, and children who waited and prayed for the victory of Allah to be decreed. And so they began their march towards Syria in order to meet that Mongol army. But all of a sudden, as they were marching, Hulaku received news that the Great Khan had died, and now Hulaku was forced to rush back to Mongolia to attend the election of a new Khan. Now was the time to strike, and in 1260, Qutuz and Baibars managed to catch the Mongols at Ain Jalut, and their battle began. Baibars led a small force into battle, while the main army stayed behind with Qutuz. And when the Mongols attacked Baibars' force, he feigned a retreat, leading the Mongols into a trap. Qutuz then appeared with his main force, much larger than the Mongol army, and eventually he managed to surround them and kill their leader. To the Mongols, it was clear that they had lost, and those that had yet to perish fled from the battlefield, defeated. At Ain Jalut, the land where David was said to have killed Goliath, the Mamluks had now defeated the Mongols, and the Muslims had been saved. But the Mongol Empire still remained as large as ever, and the Muslims expected a second attack to come at any time. But what many people didn't know at the time was that there was another army of Muslim warriors beginning to wage their own war against the Mongols. But this time, the leaders of that Muslim army were the Mongol Khans themselves. You see, Genghis Khan had four sons to his first wife, Jochi, Chagatai, Ögedai, and Talui. And as the Mongol Empire grew, it was divided into four main regions, each controlled by the descendants of one of these four sons. The Golden Horde in the north was controlled by the sons of Jochi, while the Ilkhanate was given to the sons of Talui. The Chagatai Khanate was ruled by the sons of Chagatai, while Ögedai and his son Güyük ruled above them all as the successors of Genghis Khan from the heartland of Mongolian China. Eventually, Güyük died in 1248, and Talui's son Mongke managed to take control of Mongolia with the help of Jochi's sons, removing the family of Ögedai from the throne. Soon after, two of the sons of Jochi that had helped Mongke take the throne converted to Islam in 1252. And so, when Mongke and his brother Hulaku destroyed Baghdad in 1258, they were furious. By that time, Berke was in control of the Golden Horde, and he allied himself with the Mamluks and joined them in their fight to protect the Muslim lands. And when Mongke died in 1259 and the Mamluks defeated Hulaku's army in 1260, Berke took advantage of the chaos and launched his own war. Hulaku returned to the Middle East in 1262 after installing his own brother on the throne and began another round of attacks on the Muslim lands. Berke then unleashed his forces under the command of two Muslim Mongol generals, attacking Hulaku and drawing his army north away from the Mamluks and into the Caucasus Mountains. At the same time, a civil war broke out between Kublai Khan and the last of Tolui's sons, Arif Buke, over the throne. Arif Buke then made an alliance with Berke, while Kublai continued to support Hulaku. The Mongol Empire was now permanently fractured, and never again would the Mongols pose a threat to the Muslims, but rather, in a twist of fate, three of those four Mongol Khanates would be absorbed by the Muslim world, and the Mongols of those lands would become Muslim themselves. The Golden Horde in the north had already begun their conversion to Islam under the rule of Berke Khan, and this was later completed during the rule of Özbek Khan in the early 1300s. The Ilkhanate, which had been ruled by Hulaku, was inherited by his son Tekedur in 1282, who eventually embraced Islam and became the first Muslim ruler of the Ilkhanate. But many within the ruling class did not like this, and he was assassinated by his own nephew in 1284. However, the Mongols were a ruling minority in a land of Muslims, and soon many within the ruling class began to convert to Islam. Even Arghun's sons Ghazan and Uljaytug eventually converted to Islam. And when they took control of the Ilkhanate, Islam became the state religion in the region once more. And finally, the Chagatai Khanate was the last of the three to embrace Islam, converting in two separate phases. In 1252, Mubarak Shah became the first Chagatai ruler to convert to Islam, and the Muslims remained in power until 1309, when a Tengrist Khan took the throne. For the next four decades, the Khanate changed hands between the Muslim and pagan rulers until the 1340s, when the Khanate was split in two, with the west being controlled by the Muslims and the east by the pagans. But even those Mongols in the east would soon embrace Islam. In 1347, Tughluq Timur was elected Khan of Mughulistan, the new name for the Eastern Chagatai Khanate. He was a shamanist who despised the Muslims, seeing them as less than human. But that all changed when one day a Muslim scholar from Persia was traveling through their land and he unknowingly trespassed on Tughluq's private hunting grounds. As the story goes, when Tughluq came across him, he demanded to know why he was there. Knowing that he could be executed for such an offense, the scholar simply said that he didn't know that this was private property and that it was an accident. When Tughluq heard him, he realized that the scholar was from Persia and said a dog was worth more than a Persian. The scholar then surprisingly agreed, saying, "Yes, if we had not the true faith, we should indeed be worse than dogs." Surprised by this answer, Tughluq suddenly became curious about the true faith. And realizing he knew very little about Islam, he began asking questions about the teachings of the Muslims. Not long after, Tughluq embraced Islam and all of his governors soon followed him. And when he later publicly announced his conversion, it was reported that 160,000 of his subjects shaved their heads and converted to Islam. Both halves of the Chagatai Khanate had now embraced Islam, becoming the third Khanate to do so. the Mongols, who had once been the greatest enemies of the Muslims and had brought the Muslim Ummah to the brink of destruction, had now become Muslim themselves. All that remained was the Yuan dynasty in China, and even they too, at one point, had a single Muslim Khan themselves. Like and subscribe for more Muslim facts.